So we have the Gemara on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. Gemara talks about Amar Yochanan, Amad Bimkomo V'Kibe Al-Chayiv, Bakar Bimkomo V'Kibe Al-Pater. Right? The Gemara says that if you throw something, it's a case of Zrika. So you're only Chayiv if the Mekabel stood in his place when he caught the object. But if the Mekabel moved to catch it, then the Gemara says you're Pater. So what's the basis for the Ptur in a case of Akar Bimkomo V'Kibe? So Rashi on the Gemara tells us, Pater HaZorik Delo Abed Hanacha. The basis of the Ptur is that you have an Akira without a Hanacha, since there's no Hanacha, so you're not going to be Chayiv. So presumably, if the person stood in one place, then it would be considered your Hanacha. Now that the Mekabel moved, it's no longer considered your Hanacha, and you can't be Chayiv. Rabbeinu Chananel on the Gemara reads the Gemara differently. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Lo nasis machshavto. Since the Mekabel moved to receive it, so you're Pater because the Malacha which you intended was lo also biyado. It sounds that according to Rabbeinu Chananel, even in the case of Akar Mimkomo V'Kibel, the Zorik did the Maisa Hanacha, he did an Akira and a Hanacha, there's an external Ptur because of Lo Nasas Machshavto, but a Hanacha he did have. So what will be Nafkamina between the position of Rashi and the position of Rabbeinu Chananel? So one is already Meduyak in what Rabbeinu Chananel says, that the case in the Gemara where the Ptur in the Gemara is only if Nekar Mimkomo Achareish Zarak, if the Mekabel started moving after the Zorik threw the object already. Why? Because if you saw him moving as you were throwing the object, then it's Nasas Machshavto. That may have factored into your intention. You anticipated that he would catch it. But if it was Nekar Mimkomo Achareish Zarak, so then you're going to be Potter because you couldn't have anticipated his Kabbalah. So that would be one nafkamina. According to Rashi, it should be irrelevant when he was Nekar Mimkomo. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, Lashitaso, the Akira Mimkomo had to happen before the Zrika. A second nafkamina would be something raised by the Meiri also here on Dafei, Niskavin Lekach. Right, let's say you both made up in advance that you would be throwing the object that he would receive it while he's running. I like the football analogy we gave in Shir. So the Meiri in Dafei says that if the chisaron is like Rabbeinu Chananel says that it's a chisaron in nasis machshavto, so then niskavin lekach mitchila would be chayiv. Whereas according to Rashi, that the other person did the ma'isa hanacha, even if you're niskavin lekach, nonetheless there was no hanacha on your pater. So that would be a second nafkamina between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. In fact, the Ran on Daf Hei Mabei says this explicitly. He says, what's the havamina in the Gemara? Of course, you didn't do the ma'isa hanacha, and if you didn't do the hanacha, what's the havamina that you should be chayiv? So he says, the Havamina is in a case of Niskavin Lekach. So Kamash Malan, that even though it's Niskavin Lekach, nonetheless you're Pater because there's no Hanacha. So it sounds like the Ran is reading the Gemara like Rashi. Once there's a Chisaron and a Maisa Hanacha, no Kavana could overcome it. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, Kavana would make you Chayiv. A third Nafkamina would be the Shita of the Yushalmi. Yushalmi asks explicitly from the Gemara later on Daf Kuf Beis, Zarak, Vikolta Kelev, Rakolta Chavero, Rakolta Piakivshan, if something intercedes the Zrika, something intercepts the Zrika. So Yishalmi says, there, the Gemara says you're Potter. So what's the Havamina of Akar Chavero Mimkomo that he should be Chayiv? What's the difference between the cases? So the Gemara ends up distinguishing between a case of Kolta and a case of Chatva. Yishalmi even says that if it was kolta chavero, if it just landed into your friend's hand, then of course you're going to be chayiv, because ma bein nacha al gabe karka, ma bein nacha biad chavero. What's the difference whether it just falls, right, the receiver's waiting with his hands open and the ball falls perfectly into his hand? So that's a hanacha of the zorik. He just threw it and it landed where he wanted it to. The only time that it wouldn't be considered a hanacha of the zorik is if the receiver had to grab it out of the air. Chata. He grabbed it. So if he did a Maisa Chituf, then it's considered his Hanacha and not the Hanacha of the Zorik. That's the distinction of the Yushalmi. So I just think it makes a lot of sense that the Yushalmi is really working within Rashi's read of the Gemara and not within Rabbeinu Chananel. Because if it's Niskaving the Kach, I'm Niskaving Mitchilaiv Das for the receiver to catch it, so it doesn't matter, Lechora, it shouldn't matter whether he catches it by extending his arms or he catches it by grabbing it out of there. It's still it's Avida machshavto, nasis machshavto. But if you want to say like Rashi that it's chisaron in the hanacha shel hazorik, so then it's only going to be considered his, the mekabel's hanacha, if he grabs it out of the air, not if it lands in his hand.
What? Can you say that Fatat is a case when mean that you met Torah court?
It's harder to say that. Why is that true? I mean, take a normal case when you throw it to somebody. So usually you throw it into the general area, and you abstain from how he wants to catch it. It's nasas machshavta whether he sticks his hands up, sticks his hands out. Right? The reason why the act of the grabbing it should make a difference is if you want to say now it's the hanach of the receiver. I think it's a pasha distinction. Good. So those would be three nafkamina between reading the Gemara like Rashi versus reading the Gemara like Rabbeinu Chananah. We asked in Shir, why is Rabbeinu Chananah not concerned with Rashi? Meaning, why, according to Rabbeinu Chananah, is this case of Nekar Mimkoma, why is that even considered a case of Hanochas Hazorik? Right, it seems like somebody else caught it. So why does Rabbeinu Chananah say there's only a Chisaron here of Isavida Machshavta? Shouldn't there be a Chisaron in the actual Maisa Hanacha? So we suggested one of two things. Either Rabbeinu Chananah holds that in a case of Zrika, we're going to be much more makil in what's considered a Hanacha. So since the whole Maisa of Zrika is front-loaded, so you did the Akira, you threw it, and it's considered a Hanacha, but Hanacha Koldehu, even if your friend catches it. Whereas Rashi holds that it'll be a Chisaron in the Hanacha. Rabbeinu Chananah is more makil in what counts as a Hanacha in a case of Zrika. This would parallel what we're going to discuss in the Perish Kadmon of the Perish Kadmon's interpretation of the Rambam Shita. That's one explanation. The second explanation is that when it comes to Zrika, so the Hanacha will be determined by your Kavana. Meaning, really, Rabbeinu Chananah holds like Rashi, just that what undermines the Maisa Hanacha is not the physical act of the second person carrying it, but almost the intention. It's defined by the intention or lack of intention by the Zorik. So if lo nasas machshavto, then it can't be considered his Maisa Hanacha. But if nasas machshavto, then we define the Hanacha as being attributed to the Zorik. That's for the sugi of Nekar Mimkoma v'kibel Pater. Now we move on to the second Shaila in the Gemara in Hayamid Aleph. What about a case not where your friend comes to intercept the chepetz? Let's say you throw the object up in the air, you run after it, and you're amad b'mkomo v'kiba. You yourself now stand to catch the object. So according to the girsa that we have and the girsa of Rashi in the Gemara asks, is this like shnei b'nei adam dami upater? Is it as if two different people did the action, and therefore you're going to be exempt? Or is it ka'adam echad dami v'chayiv? Or are you like one person who's chayiv? What's the explanation? So here we pointed out that we have an ambiguity in Rashi. Rashi says two things. Rashi says, A, dehavalu kishnayim she'asua. If it's two people, then you should have this patur of shnayim she'asua. Right? Shnayim she'asua is pater and hilchos Shabbos. But then in the end of Rashi, Rashi says, it's akira kamaisa below hanacha. If it's considered to be two different people, then you have essentially no hanacha. Because the first person did an akira without a hanacha, and the second person did a hanacha without an akira. So here it sounds like the patur is not shnayim she'asua, but the patur is an objective chisaron in hanacha.
Is that the same thing?
So you might say that Rashi is really saying the same thing. That Rashi is saying, not that Rashi is invoking the patur of shnayim she'asua, pater, and hilchos Shabbos. Rashi is really saying that if halachically we'll view this as two different people, so then we'll say that the akira happened without a hanacha, and the hanacha happened without an akira. Right? That's another way of reading Rashi.
Maybe that's what the patur of shnayim she'asua means in Ritzah.
It could be. In Rashi, though, it's not 100% clear. Rashi is kishnei b'nei adam dami upater dehavaluhu shnayim she'asua.
Right, because the first guy did the akira, the second guy.
So you want to say that means ze ukev ze minyach, that you're missing out in the could be. And Shir, we just wanted to point out that these are two possible interpretations of Shitas Rashi. Tosfos Rosh, when he quotes this either this girsa of Rashi or this position of Rashi, you could ask Melman afterwards whether he's quoting Rashi's position or Rashi's Shita. Rashi's girsa, Rashi's Shita. So Tosfos Rosh says, no, the suffix in the Gemara is, what's the basis of the Ptur, similar to what the Ron just said, what's the basis of the Ptur of Ze'oker v'Ze'meniach? Is it a Ptur of Shnayim She'asua? One person didn't do the full action. That's the Ptur of Ze'oker v'Ze'meniach. Or is the Ptur that you had an Akira without a Hanacha, and a Hanacha without an Akira? If it's the former, then in this case, of course you're going to be chayiv, because there's no ptur of shnayim she'asua for one person. However, if the problem of ze'oker v'ze'meniach is inherently that you had no ma'isa hotza. So then, when you're dealing with one person acting as two, you also have a p'tur. Because we split up the akira from the hanacha. Kishnei b'nei adam dami. Meaning, according to Tosfos Rush, there never is the possibility in the Gemara that it could be the p'tur is midin shnayim she'asua pater, and yet this one person would be exempt. According to Tosfos Rush, that's impossible. According to what we were suggesting in Shitas Rashi, that still yet may be the basis of the p'tur. In any event, Tosfos also reads the Gemara like Rashi. Tosfos reads that has the girsa of Rashi, and he says, "Hachanami kivan shechatva mehilucha v'lo hiniach achefes oleches ad makom hilucha lo hava hanacha de lo nach mikoach hazorek." So whereas Rashi wanted to say, at least in one interpretation, that you don't have a hanacha at all, Tosfos wants to say that you don't have a hanacha mikoach ha'akira. Or let me put it differently, you don't have a hanacha mikoach hazorik, and therefore you should be pater. Oh, dilma ka adam echadami, v'kivan da'avid akira v'hanacha, chayiv. V'lo dami l'shnayim she'asua. So Tosfos is mesupak like this. Tosfos wants to know, do you say that you're pater here because the hanacha was not mikoach ha'akira? Or do you say that you're chayiv because you did both the akira and the hanacha? Okay, that's one way of reading Tosfos. Meaning, again, the suffix in the Gemara is, essentially, phrase it a little differently, do you need hanacha mikoach hazrika, or do you need hanacha mikoach hazorik? If you need hanacha mikoach hazorik, essentially, then over here you have it, because the zorik is the meniach. You did the entire maisa. If you need hanacha mikoach hazrika, then over here, where there's a separate act which accomplished the Maisa Hanacha, over here you'd be Pater. Okay, that's one way of reading Tosfos. Another way of reading Tosfos is to say that Tosfos is Gufa Mesupak about whether or not you need Hanacha Mikoach Hazrika. According to one side in the Gemara, you don't, and therefore you're Chayiv. According to the other side in the Gemara, you do, and you're Pater. Okay? Now you should have a question on that.
Is it explicit in the Gemara in Ksivos?
What?
Explicit in the Gemara in Ksivos that you do?
That what? No, that's different than that's the Akira Tzorech Hanacha. That's a different halacha. The kasha would be then, how do you read the first case in the Gemara? Because in the first case, it seems that if Nekar Mimkomo Chavero the Kiblo, so of course you're Pater. So why are you Pater over there if you don't need Hanacha Miklacho Akira? Why are you Pater?
If you don't have Hanacha Bechla.
You do. I mean, there is a hanacha in the case.
Maybe not.
Shnayim she'asua. Okay. Right? So you'd have to say then, so you have two different possible interpretations of Tosfos. Either Tosfos is saying that the suffix in the Gemara is whether you need hanacha mikoach ha'akira, or Tosfos is saying, of course, Tosfos is saying the suffix is whether you need hanacha mikoach ha'zorik versus hanacha mikoach ha'zrika. If you want to say it's the first interpretation of Tosfos, then you have to read the first suffix of the Gemara as saying the p'tur is midin shnayim she'asua, not a p'tur midin hanacha shelo mikoach ha'akira. Because if the p'tur is midin hanacha shelo mikoach ha'akira, then the Gemara shouldn't have reopened that suffix in the second case of the Gemara. Okay? I know that sounds a little complicated, but it's not.
Where does Rashi say there's no hanacha at all in one of the opinions?
Rashi says, Havel akira kamaisa below hanacha. Right, akira doesn't have a hanacha.
No. Then he goes to the Kira below Hanacha. The Kira Kamaita. Even though the Kira doesn't have Hanacha. Hanacha is from some other kind of. Now, he's not saying there wasn't any Hanacha. He's saying that the Hanacha isn't from the Akira Kamaita.
Right. Would you want to translate as being. Would you want to translate as being Shalomi, Hanacha Shalomi Koacha Akira?
You had. It's what you had a few lines later, all the image of Koach. Where if you sufficiently change something's path, then that's an akira.
Meaning
that, but when the guy, when you end up catching it, so you've just done an akira and anacha, when you're after that,
right, that's the kiluach case.
Yeah, so in the kiluach case, where you hit it out in midair, that counts as an akira. So presumably because you're changing its path. So here too, as you're catching it, you're doing an akira and anacha just in the same place. which, as we know, either because of a figure in Chanano or because of a or simply because it's not Da'avamos, it's not a Chayv.
Right, I'm saying, do you want to read this first Rashi as saying that there's no Hanacha here, or do you want to say it's a Chisarn and Hanacha Mikloach Akira?
There's no Hanacha. The only Akira for which it would be Chayev does not have Hanacha. There happens to be a second Akira, but no one knew
it's not
cares.
Relevant. It's not relevant to the to your mice that you did.
Okay. That's why he said Akira to mice, I think?
Yeah.
The only reason he says Akira to mice is because it's a second Akira. So I don't know how what the second Akira would be if
maybe
not.
The second Akira has Hanacha.
Yes, the second Akira has enough.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the point
okay.
is, the first Akira never gets finished.
Okay, so the thing is Hanukkah, but just for the wrong Akira. That's what I wanted to say. There's no Hanukkah.
That's different than Hanukkah,
okay.
Shalom, Mikoach, Akira, even. I mean, here we're saying there's a separate Maisa Hutzah in between.
And do you mean by Hanukkah, Shalom, Mikoach, Akira?
Say it. Good. In any event, Rabbeinu Chananel himself, Rabbeinu Chananel has a very different read of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel flips the gear. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, if it's Kishnei B'nei Adam Dami, then you're going to be Chayiv. If it's Ka'adam Echad, then you're going to be Pater. So how do you explain that? How do you explain that gear? So Rabbeinu Chananel surprisingly says that if it's Ka'adam Echadami, then the Akira and the Hanacha happened in the exact same place. And therefore, you'll be Pater. If Kishnei B'nei Adam, then the Makom Hanacha is not the Makom Akira, and you're going to be Chayiv. This is a very surprising, whereas the way Tosos phrases Rabbeinu Chananel, Tosos says, it's Ki'ilu Nasa mi imino l'smolo, as if you took something from your left hand and you put it into your right hand. So the Rosh already objects to that interpretation of Rabbeinu Chananel or to that sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel, and he says that's ridiculous, because meila in a case of havara where you're standing in one place and you pass something from your left hand to your right hand, so the hanacha follows raglav, and the raglayim never moved. So then you'll say the makom akira and the makom hanacha on the ground are identical. There was no motion of the chayfetz relative to the ground. Because the hanacha, the akira was from makom raglav, the hanacha was from makom raglav. But in the case of zrika, where you throw it, mitchila dalid, and you run and you catch it, pesof dalid, so there, even makom raglav changed. So how can you say that the makom akira is the makom hanacha? That's the question that he asks on Rabbeinu Chananel. Tos the rush. So what will you say for Rabbeinu Chananel? So you have to say two things. First, you have to be machalik between the primary reference frame, let's call it X prime, which is the Yado Shel Adam over here, and the more general reference frame, which is the ground, which we'll call X. Relative to X, the chayfetz moved. But with respect to the most immediate reference frame, which is Yado Shel Adam, so the Akira and the Hanacha, the Akira is at zero, and the Hanacha is at zero. But you'll ask, who cares? Because in the end of the day, the chayfetz moved either from Rishis HaYachid to Rishis HaRabim or Dalet Amos for Rishis HaRabim. So who cares that the Makom Akira is the Makom HaNacha? Right? So here you might say that Rabbeinu Chananel is L'shitaso. But Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf Gimel Amud Beis said, at least according to interpretation of the Beis Zevul, that you can't have an Akira and a Hanacha at the exact same time. That if the Akira and the Hanacha are simultaneous, then you wouldn't be chayef for Hutzah. But who cares? The Akira happened in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the Hanacha happened in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. This is on the Abai Yadosh Lalam in Elok Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Elok Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So at the time we wanted to explain that if the Akira and the Hanacha are simultaneous, then by definition there's no movement of the Chepetz. Even though the Chepetz is now in a different Rosh Hashanah. So here you might say that Al Pi Din, even though the Chepetz switched Rosh Hashanah, since relative to X prime there was no movement of the Chepetz, so you can't be Chaya for Hutzah. Meaning you have an additional Tanai in Hotzah that you have to have movement. With respect to movement, you go after the primary reference frame, which is X prime. Since that was Yadol Shel Adam and the Hanacha was Yadol Shel Adam, so there's no movement and you're going to be Pater.
Would that imply that if something is not moving with respect to its immediate reference frame, so then it's moving to the Munach?
Perhaps. That might be the suffix of the Gemara in Hema Beis.
Except then we end up in the wrong direction, right?
Why?
Why? Because it
depends how you read the Gemara later on in Hazal,
right?
I think it depends how you read the case of the Adam B'mita, when you say that since the Mita, one of the Iker is batel to the Tafel.
I don't see how that shows at all.
Because the point is that relative to the Chayfetz, which you're moving.
That's right? A question of Bittel. I don't know.
Right, but the, Bittel assumes you need two reference frames. If one of them is batel to the other frame, then you're reduced to one.
That has nothing to do with the reference frame. That has to do with an object.
No, it's not true. That's the same shaila as egos bikli al gabi mayim.
Same case of motzi meis b'mitra?
No. Oh, yeah, motzi meis b'mitra, that can mark.
So I don't know what that has to do with the reference frames.
Well, are you looking at it relative to the mita or relative to the mace?
I'm looking at the mace.
Relative to the mita or relative to the karka?
Relative to the karka.
How do you know?
Because the problem there is one of Machmichichot.
Why don't you look at, let's say you looked at the mace relative to the mita.
Okay, let's say.
What should the din have been?
The din would have been the same thing.
Why?
Because you're not chai for the mace.
Let's assume it's Shvichel Leguf on that case. Right? Would he have been chai for Otsa Samis? So I think it's a shadow.
The problem is this just runs into questions of based on Tosus's explanation of Rachel Kamahalech, that Rachel Kamahalech is not Tumina, right? So that should be the perfectly analogous case.
Why? There, I don't think it's analogous at all, just because there you're looking at the movement of the animal.
There you're looking at whether or not the object on the animal is munach.
Right, and relative to the animal he is.
Yes, and here too, the object is munach relevant to me as I'm moving. If I'm taking the object from one hand to the other hand, and while my hand is moving, so I'm grabbing it out of it, so then according to Tosus Egos, it will be munach. Correct?
Right.
And according to Tosus Egos, it would not be munach, it's unless you went into Derech HaAtznian. But according to our Tosus, it would be Munach.
I'm not sure I understand the objection.
Oh, you could just answer that when you're moving, when you're walking, we look at the object relative to the ground. But when you're standing, in this case, you start by throwing it, you're standing still, and you end by standing still and catching it. When you're standing still, we look at the reference frame of your hand. When you're moving, we look at the reference frame of your feet.
You might say that also. I mean, either way, Rabbeinu Chananel says what he says, right? He says the Makom Akira is the Makom Anacha, so you have to explain why that's a Ptur. So I'm just suggesting that means that in X prime it hasn't moved. Yeah.
Not a bad time. I'm just wondering how you're connecting the base rule. Meaning the fact that chronologically the Akira happens the same time as the Anacha, so there's no movement. That makes sense. There's no time in which the faith is moving.
Right.
It has to show you're going to go over. You're going to look at X prime to judge movement and not X.
It doesn't. All I'm saying is that according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you see there's an added tanai in Hotzah that the object has to move.
Oh, okay.
Right? I don't think that his Chiddush and Daf Gimel entails what he says here at all. But I think that given what he says on Daf Gimel, you could explain what he says here. I mean, I think Daf Hey presupposes what he says on Daf Gimel, that you need motion of the Chayfetz. Right? I mean, you could have argued still. You could have accepted Daf Gimel.
Doesn't he say that the Makom is the same?
Right, but what does the Makom same mean? The Chayfetz didn't move.
Or it's not about movement, it's just about change. Meaning change from point.
But it changed Rishuyos.
What?
It changed Rishuyos.
Right, but if you look at the immediate surface, so it doesn't really matter. Meaning it could be that he focuses on the immediate surface.
Well, why should immediate surface be relevant? That's the question. Why is that a Tanai in Hotzah? So I'm explaining because a Tanai in Hotzah is motion.
Hotzah is about changing place. So if you have it in one Rishos, from Zavis to Zavis, so all of that one room, that one Rishos is one area.
Okay,
so you have to have it in two different areas.
I don't know.
But if you have it in two different areas on the same surface, so you also have to move.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't hear that.
Sorry if this is obvious, but I don't have it in front of me. Is it so clear that where this applies to Chila for Shigos as well as to our Rabbis, which is to have him?
Yeah, there are definitely some Rishonim who apply this to both cases. Does he say for both cases? The Gemara doesn't qualify it.
Right.
The Gemara doesn't say so.
But especially for Rabbeinu Chananel, there's probably Rabbi Musar and Rabbi Chalik.
And therefore?
Just pointing that out for you. Right. A lot of these questions might be easier if we assume that if it were in fact Mechalei Rishuyos, you would be chayav.
I hear that. I mean, it's still pushing a little bit. I mean, you want to say maybe it's Rabbeinu Chananel is more palatable if it's all Birshas Rabban, because at least then there's less of a demarcated change.
And Mechayev of motion.
For Rabbeinu Chananel in, I hear. Problem is, Rabbi Nachmanel seems to have the mechayev of motion on Daf Gimel, even for chila for shuyos. So that mitigates your point. So we have to figure it out. Anybody have a better suggestion for Rabbi Nachmanel?
I have a question.
Who do you have a better suggestion?
But one suggestion could be that in general, we know we go by Malcolm, Shabo, Megot, Adam. But it could be maybe not in Zika. In Zika, you have two places, the place where it lands and the place where you throw.
Maybe we generally go Basar?
We generally go where the person's standing. That's what the favorite
is. Right.
But it could be it doesn't apply to Zika.
So it's the Rush's point.
That what?
That when in Havara, we'll go Basar and Malcolm, Amida. For Zika, we won't.
So then what's the problem with Benachanana?
It's more problematic because this is the case of Zika.
Right. You don't go by, you go by the place where the physical place where it exactly is, which is your hand. Same place.
Right, but the Rush is arguing it's harder to say that the chefetz didn't move when the object actually flew through the air, separate from the goof. It's easier to say the chefetz didn't move when the motion is all on your body and your body didn't move.
But why? It doesn't say the chefetz didn't move. It says, makom ha'kir hu makom ha'anacha.
Right.
It could be the makom, obviously. But in other words, for Zvika, we might care. Like, I mean, then you get crazy cases. Like, if you throw it 4 amot and run 2 amot before it landed, are you chayav and patur?
Right.
But I think you could just say that we care about the exact place where it landed. The Zika, I don't see why it's a problem.
Seder. Possibly. All right. In any event, the Ramban adopts the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, but he likes the Pirush of Rashi. The Ramban says he thinks that he likes Rashi's pshat. He says, yesh l'Rashi Pirush acher tov mimena. He says, what can I do? Because all the girsos of the Gemara are more like Rabbeinu Chananel. So what does Ramban do? So Ramban then makes up a perush that's like Rashi, but that will fit the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel. So Ramban seems to suggest that what's happening in the Gemara is that you grab the object out of the air. That's what it means, nekar mimkoma. So Ramban says, if you grab it out of the air, so then you might say it's kebez b'nei adam dami v'chayiv. Why? Because you did the Akira, and you actively did the Hanacha. Meaning, Beis Kochos Ba'adam Echad. You did both the Akira and the Hanacha. Or, the suffix of the Gemara is, Ka'adam Echadami, that you view it based off the Akira, V'hu Akar V'lohi Niach. So the Ramban wants to read the Gemara Kepirish Rashi, but accommodating the Girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel. According to Ramban, it would be either you say he did both the Akira and the Hanacha, Kishnei B'nei Adam, or you'll say he did an Akira without a Hanacha because Ka'adam Echadami, and the Hanacha wasn't part of the Maisa Akira. Finally, for this Sugya, we have the Shita of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi wants to know what's the relationship between Piv and Yad Smolo. The Yerushalmi assumes it's Pashat that if you take an object and you eat it, that you'll be Chayiv. The Yerushalmi says it's Pashat that Piv is Ke'acher. So the Gemara says, if Piv is Ka'acher, then Yad Smolo is also Ka'acher. That's the first position in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, it's Pashat that Yemino L'Smolo would be Chayiv, just as Yemino L'Piv would be Chayiv. The suffix now is Yemino L'Yemino. If you throw something in your right hand, then you catch it in your right hand. Because there you might say the object didn't move, or it's the same thing. That's the first day in the Yerushalmi. The second day is the Shita Darban in the Yerushalmi. And they say, no, piv is ka'acher only because the object now gets consumed and it's gone. So that's why you're chayav for hanacha b'sof piv. But yad smolo, where the object still exists, so maybe that's lav ka'acher dami. So the Yerushalmi basically has the suffix whether or not yad smolo is dome to piv or not. Then the Yerushalmi goes on and the Yerushalmi suggests that maybe if yad smolo is considered ka'acher, then it should be pater for shnayim shasua if you do a hotzah with both yadayim. So the Yerushalmi turns around, the Yerushalmi says that can't be because Yachid Ba'asosa is Chayiv. The implication being that even if you have Shtei Kochos Ba'adam Echad, and it says if it's two different Maisim, so nonetheless, there's a Gzeres HaKasav that says Ba'adam Echad you're Chayiv. So even though it on the surface it has the characteristics of Shnayim Shasua and you should be Pater, the Gzeres HaKasav that Shnayim Shasua B'chad Gavra is Chayiv. That would be the maskan of the Yerushalmi. Okay. Any questions?
What do we do with this Yerushalmi?
What?
What exactly do we do?
What's
with
the problem with Yerushalmi?
I'm just asking.
I mean, what? Why it would be? What's the suggestion that it should be Shnayim Shesu?
We're mentioning because it's different.
What?
We're mentioning because it's different, or that we were.
What?
Did we just mention it to point out that it's different or interesting or?
Well, why is it significant? I don't know. It's interesting. I guess whether you think that Yad Yamino and Yad Smol are functioning as two different entities. Okay, our next sugi here is Egos Algabi Mayim and Mayim Algabi Mayim. So the Gemara on him at Aleph wants to know what happens if you're Kalat Mi Algabi Guma. What happens if you scoop some water from on top of a little hole inside a Rishus HaYachid? So is that considered an Akira Shalchiyav or not? So the first thing that you have to determine in the sugi is what are you Kolate from? The Gemara says it's a Kosel Shapua, Kosel Meshupa, the slanted wall. So Tosa says that you need Kita Farabim, you need Rab Mechatvan Alav, because otherwise an Amud Bershus Arabim, that's unless it's Kavoa Tess Rab Mechatvan Alav, so it's Karmelis. So in order for you to be Chayiv for that Kira from this Kosel, Tosa says, it has to be Rab Mechatvan Alav. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, even without Rab Mechatvan Alav, you're going to be Chayiv, because Avi Rishus Arabim Arasara is a Rishus Arabim. And he says it's Doma to the case later on in the Gemara in Daf Zayinim Beis, where you throw a Dvela Shmena and it sticks onto a wall below 10 Tvachim inside a Rishus Arabim, you're Chayiv. So therefore the Ramban says, since Avi Rishus Arabim is so strong, you don't need Rabim Mechatvin Alav for this Kosel Meshupa. So in Shir we give two explanations for this. Either the point here is that Avi Rishus Arabim is so strong that it's able to transform this Kosel Meshupa into a Rishus HaRabim without Rabim Mechatvin Alav. And if you'll ask, how come the Gemara later on in Daf Ches says that an Amud Teisha needs Rabim Mechatvin Alav and Avi Rishus HaRabim is not sufficient? So there you might say that's only for an Amud. But a Kosel Meshupa, which is more Batel to the Rishus HaRabim because it's slanted, so then you might say that Avi Rishus HaRabim has the ability to transform it into a Rishus HaRabim. The second way we explain the Shita of the Ramban is not that the chifetz is noch al gabe a rishus harabim and therefore noch rishus harabim. The chifetz is noch al gabe karmelis. The wall is a karmelis, but since it's a kosel meshupa, we view the hanocha as being, or the chifetz is in the avir of the rishus harabim. So the hanocha is al gabe karmelis, but the chifetz is ba'avir rishus harabim. So the Rashba says, and the Ramban says, there's no difference between a slanted wall and a straight wall. So when you have a Dvela Shmena that sticks onto the wall, that's Nach Ba'avi Rishus HaRabim. So it's over here, it's Nach Ba'avi Rishus HaRabim. Okay, even though it looks like it's Nach Al-Gabe Karmelis. So the Rashba disagrees. Rashba says that's inconceivable. Because at least in the case of the straight wall on Dav Zayin Beis with the Dvela Shmena, so it's not noch al gabe davar mesuyam. It clearly didn't land on the wall. It's simply attached to it. But because on meshupa, where it lands al gabe davar mesuyam, it's resting physically on the wall. So then it's impossible to say that it's noch ba'avi rishus harabim. That's the Rashba's objection. So you might say the machlokes in the Rashba and the Ramban is one of two things. Either the Ramban would concede the point and the Ramban would say, no, here the Avi Rishus HaRabim turned the Kosel Meshupa into a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's Noch Al Gabi Davar Mesuyam, but that Davar Mesuyam is a Rishus HaRabim. That's one way the Ramban could respond. Or the Ramban would say that Avi Rishus HaRabim is stronger than you, the Rashba, assumed. The Rashba assumed that Avi Rishus HaRabim cannot envelop something that's Noch Al Gabi Kosel Meshupa Shel Karmelis, and the Ramban thinks that Avi Rishus HaRabim is sufficiently strong that it could override the Karmelis that it's Nachan and say that it's entirely inside the Rishus HaRabim. So either we're talking about the Koach of the Avir Karmelis, Avir Rishus HaRabim, to consume the Chefetz, or the Koach of the Avir Rishus HaRabim to consume the Kosel Meshupa.
In what sense is the Karmelis? Like what halacha of a Karmelis would apply to this Kosel Meshupa?
We're assuming it's Dalet al Dalet. We've shown them all say that because otherwise you couldn't have a Hanacha.
Yeah.
And we're assuming it's Lamala Migimel.
No, the halacha, what halacha of karmelis applies as well? If anything on it is a Mishnah Rabbi, in what sense is it a Karmic?
According to Tosos.
Something
good from the other side. Yeah, according to Tosos. Yeah. A category. Can you have a Hanoch al Gabi Karmelist? That's Noch Birshus Arabim.
But if you can, how is it a Karmic?
Is that a Tartar Sasser?
But I don't understand. If it is, how is it a Karmic? If it's anything on it is a Mishnah Rabbi.
If you're Zorik, the Kosa.
What if you're standing on it and you throw it? No, you're still in Shabbat. I just don't understand. I guess the end is Zorik.
The top.
What?
The top.
Then the top is a carrier. The wall.
Let's say, or if the wall. I have to think about it. Let me see.
I guess if you throw the Kosa, you see, right?
Zorik Kosa. Why not? Or maybe if you have something that's inside. I mean, the Rishonim actually say this is not a case where the whole wall is slanted. It's like a straight wall where part of it is slanted.
Is it good? That's what I understand.
Maybe it would still be Asur Midarabanan to put something from the Rishis Rabbim on the card list.
Why? Even though it's not Rishis Rabbim?
Even though it's not Rishis Rabbim, it's also not Al-Gabi card list.
It's both. That might be the case. Why not say it's an Isur Tiltul from that to the Rishis Rabbim? But also Chai Midaraisa, because Avi Rosh Hashanah.
Okay,
that'd
be Chiddush. So if you're saying he's saying the
Chiddush, Avkirza is a Baal
Mechadish. If you're saying the Rabban is saying the Chiddush, then that's fine. But you have to, I'm just pointing out, you have to say he's saying something.
Right. That's also to stick it out, Avkirza, which is a bit more Chiddush also.
Because Levena for sure is an Avi Rosh Hashanah.
But Levena itself is a Panos.
What?
No, nothing.
Good. You know, here there's a lot more noise. I assume the weird noises came from outside. I didn't think they were in the middle of the room. Okay. So then the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says, why you chayir for kulate me'al gabe mayim, why you kulate from the guma? After all, you're skimming some water off a puddle resting in the wall. So what you really have is nakiras mayim me'al gabe mayim, and Rashi says, and this is what the Gemara objects. The Gemara says, you would have thought that mayim agabi mayim lav hanachahu. Why? Why is mayim agabi mayim not a hanacha? So Rashi says, deha nayid v'azlu. Water, the water on top, is actually moving relative to the water underneath. So since the water is moving, it shouldn't be considered nakira, because it's in motion. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says,
he's referring to the mayim on top.
What?
He's referring to the mayim on top.
Lav hainu hanacha. The Gemara says, mayim al gabe mayim, tavek, the ha naidu va'azlu.
The what's naidu va'azlu?
The water.
Top of the ball.
Whatever you're skimming is in motion.
Why can't it be? The platform is in
motion. Yeah.
What's underneath it?
Yeah.
Could be in a chrami. Could be. But I would say that even if what's on bottom is not in motion, certainly the water that's on top is in motion. And I think it makes more sense also that the water on top probably moves. Ask our physicist over here. Is it true that water on top moves more than water at the bottom of a...
The Ma'aron Bennett explains Rashi is referring to the
Ma'aron.
I'm cutting out my napkin during lunch. It says that the bottom water is moving.
You can't pick up Yakir's doodles on napkins and attribute them to Afroni.
It says
because
the bottom layer sinks into the ground, so that's what he means by 90 vases.
Like running away from you?
No, it's like being absorbed.
Like the water is like sinking into the ground. It's like being absorbed by the karka.
Karmbut? On the previous side.
No?
What if it's in the cement guma?
He's probably based himself on the previous Ash.
Faster.
In any event, okay, it seems from Rashi, whether you want to take Ellie's read or you want to take the way I'm reading Rashi, and any the problem, the Havamin in the Gemara, the problem with water is that it's Nayid, is that the water is in motion.
No, it could be that if we're taking Ellie's read, it could be the fact that at the top, the water on top is in motion. We don't care about that. We care that it's on a moving platform. The fact that it itself is moving is irrelevant to us as long as it's on a moving platform.
Right, which would mean that the problem is the motion.
Not the motion of the chepsa. Potentially, if something is in motion, it can be not. If the platform upon which it is moving is not.
I mean like the topic of the Gemara later on.
Yeah.
And a chanami. But either way, it's clear that the chisaron here is a chisaron of naid. Right?
In something. Right, but we're just saying, depending on how you can't have an akira, you're denied of what?
Okay,
what
but right, but let's abstain from defining the what.
Okay, then.
But it's clear that, my point is that, just to contrast it with the sheet of the Rambam, for Rashi, the problem is that you can't have an akira from something that's already moving. Okay, that's the chisaron in Maaseh Shabbos here. According to the Rambam, though, the way the Rambam reads the Gemara, the Rambam seems to have learned that the havamina is that the mayim is not nachal gabe karka. So what the Gemara is solving, according to the Rambam now, is that mayim agabe mayim haynu hanachasan, meaning the entire body of water is one unit. So halachically now, it's not mayim agabe mayim, it's just mayim agabe karka. And that's going to be considered nach. Nach agabe karka. Rashi, though, seemed to write the Gemara differently. Rashi said the problem is that mayim is nayid, it's in motion, so it can't be nach. Kamash mulan haynu hanachasan. So two different ways of reading the havamina. The Rambam reads the maskana now of saying that mayim, the entire mayim is directly agave karka, because one entity, and his raya would be from tvul yom shenaga. The whole point is, what the Gemara is trying to prove there is that it's one entity, so a magabel yonim is gufa magabetachtonim. So too for hanacha. Rashi would say, no. Mayim agave mayim haynu hanachasan, meaning, this is the natural way how water is nach. You can't say kamash milan, the water is not nayid. Kamash milan, even though the water is nayid, it doesn't matter because mayim agave mayim haynu hanachasan. That's the dark of a kach. That's the normal way of how water is going to rest. So you might have a nafkamina between Rashi and a nafkamina between these two interpretations of Rashi and the Rambam. What about naharos hamoshchim? The Meiri's nafkamina. What if you have rivers that are they're streaming through? If you think that what you have now is mayim agabi mayim haynu hanachasan, so you might say that streaming rivers is also haynu hanachasan. That's their natural state of being. Whereas if you want to say that for the Rambam that the issue is that we're saying that mayim agabi mayim is considered directly agabi karka, then for the Rambam naharos hamoshchim would not be a hanacha because they're still naidi ve'azil. They're still moving around. So if they're moving around, that can't be considered a hanacha.
Yeah. So for the Rambam, that is or is not a hanacha?
The Rambam is not a hanacha.
Why?
Because it's still nayid, it's moving.
But it's water and water on the ground.
But the whole point is that mayim agave mayim just solves agave karka.
Right.
So let's say you put a chepsa agave karka and it's still moving. It's not a hanacha.
It could be.
Of course
it is. No? Because it lands on the ground and keeps rolling, it's not.
What?
Doesn't it call abo and it lands and rolls back in? Isn't that a mishnah?
It's not.
Something, well, so we're showing him here, say it explicitly. We have something that's in motion. And you're collate that something that's in motion. So you're not chayav for akira.
Is my focus on Megalgal?
Yeah, that's what they're showing him say by Megalgal.
So you're
chayav.
No, it's my focus.
Yeah, but even if you want to talk about something that's Megalgal, agave karka, from the Gemara here, it's explicit that let's say you have water that's streaming down a wall. What's the din? That's not considered nakira. Why?
The Rambam is not on the ground.
Because that's mayim agave mayim.
Not nach agave karka.
It's nach on the amud.
No, it's streaming down.
Okay.
It's on the side of the
Amud. And you think the Gemara has two problems. The Gemara initially, when it said, the Gemara only raised mayim agave mayim when it talked about kalat me agave guma. Let's say the water is streaming down a coastal meshuva.
And it's clearly not.
So there you have a problem of mayim agave mayim and a problem of that it's in the low nach. Presumably the Gemara means that when you have a pool of water, then you have a problem of mayim agave mayim. When you have droplets of water that are coming down a coastal, so there's no problem of mayim agave mayim. There, it's just a problem that it was low nach.
Okay.
Well, they're not two separate problems according to the Rambam.
Why?
Because you're arguing that if it's moving, then even though it's on the karka, it's still not a good hanacha.
Right. Which is isn't that what the Gemara said? By
then in any case of mayim agave mayim, the mayim's always going to be moving.
Not true. Stop. You have a pool of water.
Water moves. Water is never truly like.
It moves. Machlokas
and Matthias with Rashi? Yeah. Rashi thinks, not a Machlokas and Matthias, but Rashi thinks that the chisaron here is that in a pool, water is considered to be moving. And the Ram would say that in a pool, water is not moving.
It's not a Machlokas and Matthias because the fact that it's all one entity
right.
means that one entity is
it's
not
a
moving.
Sum total, right.
Right. So
it's like
river,
an amorphous, it's like a little jelly thing.
So
it's like
in a river,
river
starts and ends.
No.
You're standing, you know, at the bottom of Niagara Falls, right? And the water is rushing through. On a slope, let's say. So you're kolei me'agaba. So good, you're kolei me'agaba karka. But the mayim is in motion, so you can't say that you did an akira.
The mayim is in motion, but if the mayim is really one thing, then nothing is in motion. If it's truly, truly one entity, then the entity is just stationary forever.
I mean, so you think that a tul yom that like touches, I mean, this is here, it's mechubel karka, so that's a bit of a problem.
If it's all one thing, so then you should apply the halachos of tumah. If you don't, it's not all one thing.
Well, there it's different, because it's you might say this is like a mayon or something.
Forget mayon.
And the Gemara says by ketapre schibur, or Gemara's a shayla by ketapre schibur.
Except this is nitzuk, which is very, very clearly not a chibur.
Why is this nitzuk? I'm saying I think for the Rambam it's clear that all you're solving here is mayim agabe mayim, and that's only when it's kalat beguma, because it's agabe karka. But if it's nayid va'azil, the Rambam doesn't present a solution for it. According to Rashi, the habmin of the Gemara here is that it's, or the Gemara is saying it is nayid. The answer is haynu hanachasam. It's a natural state. So for the Rambam, you would say that naharas amoshchim would still be in motion, and you'd be
patur. We're sure for the Rambam that something that's in motion is problematic, or you think so?
I mean, how else would you read the Gemara about? Why do you need to kimta of kalat mi'al gabe guma then?
Maybe it requires it to be.
The Gemara said, "Mayim mi'avidi denaichi."
Particularly the way Rashi seems to be, there's a question of is it the makom where something can be not, rather than a question of whether it itself is relevant. Meaning, yesh l'chad between something rolling down a slope and something rolling up a ground.
No, I think for Rashi the chiluk is haynu hanachasam or lav haynu hanachasam. When you see water coming down the gutters and leaders, so that's not haino, that's lav haino hanachasan. But when the water is in its natural bed,
I'm simply quoting Rashi to show that you can be you can focus on the word of it, the naich, rather than naich. That's to say, it needs to be makom haroi hanacha rather than a simple hanacha.
Read Rashi mi avidi denaichi el bedavar sheyesh lo toch.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Is it common or possible for water to rest except for in something which has an interior?
Kol sam shuba is inherently not a makom hanacha for water.
Right.
Yes.
So naharos hamoshchem would.
Naharos hamoshchem would also not. For Rashi, it could go either way based on the later Rashi willing to do with it. I'm simply saying that the Rambam could accept this first Rashi and thus prefer Guma to
Kozel Meshubah
simply because it can rest in the
Guma. I'm saying, point to the Rambam.
Yes.
You think he's solving, you want to say that he's solving the problem of the Mayim being in motion?
I think he's solving the problem of the Mayim. Yes.
How?
By putting it in a place where it is one solid, one single body which is not in motion.
You think a stream, according to the Rambam, is not in motion?
I'm saying that's impossible. I happen to think that a stream is in motion. I'm simply saying that it's possible, and the Rambam would say it's not.
No.
If you could say to anyone that it's not.
No, if you say, I thought what you were saying was the problem is that there's no problem of motion. There's only a problem of being in a makom, which
is more in motion.
Right.
And a riverbed. It depends whether it's a sloped river or a flat canal.
Also, didn't you want to do a riverbed anyway? I'm sure you.
All right.
Scooping water out.
But then you're scooping from on that issue.
Why is it delicious?
The water in the river is not delicious.
Okay, we could debate this point further. Let's go on to a second nafkamina. So let's go on to a second nafkamina. Just to repeat it, I would say that for Rashi, where you're never saying that the mayim is nach, you're just saying haynu hanachasan. So for Rashi, you would say naharos hamoshim is considered haynu hanachasan. For the Rambam, that you want to say that we're solving agave karka, then you would simply say for the Rambam, that will help you for a guma. Now it's one entity. But if the water is still in motion, then you still won't get an akira shachir. Second nafkamina, I would say, is Rashi on daf kuf amir aleph. When the Gemara talks about the bor malei mayim, the Gemara says if you're zorik l'soch bor malei mayim, you're chayiv. Why? Doesn't it seem from the Gemara on daf heim and beis that mayim agavi mayim is lav haynu hanachasan? Or doesn't the Gemara seem, sorry, that egos atzaf agabi mayim is lav haynu hanachasan? So if the ego is not noch agabi mayim, how could the Gemara in Daf Kuf say that zorich lesuch bor moli mayim is chayiv? So Rashi there says, either we're dealing with an even or mayim. We're either dealing with an even which will sink to the bottom, and then it'll be noch agabi de karka, and lechora, the time of the hanacha would be when it hits the bottom, not when it hits the water. Nafkamina linyan yudia lechiv chatas, maybe. Or Rashi says, o mayim. If you throw water into the bore, you'd be chayiv. And lechora over there, you'd be chayav the moment it hits the top of the bor. Because mayim, based off the Gemara on Dafei, that mayim agavi mayim haynu anochasan. So you might say that this would also be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam quotes the Gemara here as saying zarak chayfetz lesoch bor male mayim. Right, any object into the bor. Lechora for the Rambam, you might say that mayim actually would not be considered a maitza hanacha. Why? For the Rambam, the reason why Mayim Agavi Mayim is considered a Hanacha is because it's called Davar Echad. So that would help you when you're Kolate Mayim Agavi Mayim for an Akira. Because where were you Oker from? You were Oker Agave Karka. For the Gemara in Daf Kuf, you might say that when the Mayim falls onto the boar, so you don't say that the Mayim fell Agave Karka. The Mayim fell Agave Mayim. That's where it landed. Now, when you step back and look at the object, so now Kol HaMayim is one entity. But at the time of the Maisa Hanocha, it landed Agave Mayim, not Agave Karka. Okay, so you might say that's an afkamina between the Rambam and Rashi. According to Rashi, it's Mayim Agave Mayim Hainu Hanochasan. It's Nach when it lands on it. According to the Rambam, that it's Kiilu, it's Nach Agave Karka, you can't say that for a Maisa Hanocha. You can only say that for Kalat Me Agave Karka. What?
I was looking up to see someone objecting.
Oh yeah, no objection.
This seems odd.
Why?
I think you're laughing at you now.
Why? Why is it not?
I think the ultimate hanacha is when the thing becomes part of a larger thing.
You have to retain your original identity.
Right.
To really
be, I mean, here the mayim is nuch on the puddle, right?
Maybe that's the sort of the ball.
That's different when you take something from the puddle, which is considered an akira from
puddle.
The entity.
It's not nuch on the puddle. It's nuch in the puddle.
With
your,
it's
not
against the puddle.
What do you mean it's
not
in the puddle?
It's
good, but Achilasan Zui Hanachasan is Rashi saying Mayim Zui Hanachasan, you're dealing with a natural state of being.
That was mine.
What? Because there you're saying that it's a natural state of being, that's the way it's supposed to work. So Mayim Agabe Mayim is not. But not for the Rambam that you want to say that. Rambam's saying, look at this puddle. So this puddle is one entity.
Yes.
Is the puddle sitting on Agabe Karka? Yes. So Nakira from the puddle is Nakira Magave Karka. But when you say this chifetz, this droplet landed, where did it land? That's what you want to say?
Yeah.
I thought you said it landed in the puddle.
In the puddle, which is the
same thing. And the puddle is Karka? No. You just told me it landed in the puddle, and the puddle is Agave Karka.
It is part of the puddle. The puddle is Agave Karka.
That's peculiar to me. Bishasa, it's like Hanachaso bitlo boin kachas.
So let me ask you,
Yakir. At the moment it lands, at that instant, is it part of the puddle or not?
Yes.
So is the puddle flying in motion? Is the puddle in motion? Was the whole puddle okay and then splat down in the bore?
That what?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. At the moment it landed, so the puddle landed, right?
Objection. Leading question.
At the moment it landed, it's not in motion. The moment it landed.
Right. So at the moment it landed, it's in the puddle. Right?
Right.
And the second before it landed.
Then it's not part of the puddle.
So when was the hanacha?
When it became part of the puddle.
Yeah.
It was swallowed into the puddle at the hanacha.
It lost its identity.
So it lost its identity. I don't buy it.
It's the same thing as if you grab it, it lets the old chocolate go up in the object.
What?
It's the same thing as if you grab it, and you let the chocolate go up in the object. It becomes, what? If it goes through the object. Right? If you map it, if it goes within to become of the object, it's not that the ground moves up above the object. It's what starts up to the object.
Why don't you say it's a hanacha agave, the object?
Because the object is not a reshus. Because people don't step on the object. Because the object may or may not be a carnivorous.
I don't understand that.
I have a very large loaf of bread. This loaf of bread is 10,000 tall dollar on the floor. Dog talking wide, right? I mavish something above this loaf of bread. You know, blessing the loaf above this loaf of bread. It stops there. Is that anacha? The Gemara says here, there is a chowa, particularly according to the Rambam's understanding, is that if it passes within three tefachim of an already placed object, then I'm chai.
It's mitzarif l'shir.
Good.
Right.
So you have tziruf. Whatever that tziruf is, this tziruf is. You can have hanacha through tziruf. Right? It's an analogous case.
No, everyone agrees you could have a hanacha through tziruf. The question is, what's the mechanism of Mayim Magabi Mayim?
So according to the Rambam, it's...
According to Rashi, it's a mechanism of Tziruf, because Hainu Hanachasam. That's the natural state of being.
What?
That's the natural state of being. According to the Rambam, I only know one Chiddush of Mayim Magabi Mayim.
Which is that it's on the path.
Something that's Nocha Gabi Mayim is not a Maisa Hanacha.
Yes.
Right, according to the Rambam.
Yes.
Or that's whatever. We'll see in a second. The thing is that when you have an entire pool of water, it's done to Dabar Echad.
Yes. So you have Hanacha to Tziruf.
No. In the Rambam, the Chiddush is just that when you have a pool of water, it's Nidon to Dabar Echad. That's all you know from the Rambam's Pesach.
Yes.
Great.
Arguing
it's Nidon to Dabar Echad, but it's not, there's no Tziruf?
Right, because the Rambam's only talking about a case of kalat from a pre-existing guma.
Aren't those two things the same?
Why?
If you
it
agree,
means that something new can't be mitzarif to it right away.
Let's start with why
something that's added to it is not now considered batel to the guma.
Why do you think that water is all davar echad?
When does it?
It's all water.
It's
right?
One entity.
It's one because water is the same thing as
no, because
water.
One entity sitting here.
When
you look at a lake, right?
No, because if you have two droplets of water, they're exactly the same. So when you combine them, they're the same. They're all one entity because they're made of the same things. So when you throw water onto water, it becomes part of the same entity.
Right. It's not nach. It's no maisa hanacha.
No. But by becoming part of the same entity, we're arguing that is hanacha.
Okay. But I'm saying from the Rambam, you never see that. There's no indication in the Rambam that mayim agabi mayim is a maisa hanacha. Only that a body of water is what single entity. Right. So now I'm asking when something falls into it. So you want to say it becomes a single entity and that's its hanacha.
Right.
But you never see that in the Rambam.
But you want to be a maximalist.
Right, so you want to be a maximalist.
Yes.
Alright, so you want to read things into Rishonim? I can't help it. Yeah.
When, according to you, Bishas Hanacha, it's not Mitzuraf yet?
Correct.
What is the moment of time when it becomes material?
Probably when you step back and look at the entity as a whole.
So you have to step back and look at it.
Yeah, I mean it has to have
observation effect whether it's
it has to have
it's like a Schrodinger's
cat. It has to have a unified existence.
What do you think, Glenn?
That's what I would say.
Your observation affected the reality. Physics.
Yes.
Right.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Exactly.
Please
Kamar
do not bring
the
references to
no,
that.
It's
right.
Said it.
No,
it affects the look reality, not the reality.
Right?
That's what you meant.
I don't know.
The halachic perception.
No, I would say I don't know if amake are those two different categories. Okay, so let's go on. So the Gemara then has a case of egos that tzaf al gabi mayim. According to the Gemara, it's a davar pasha, the egos that tzaf al gabi mayim doesn't have a shema nacha. So Tosas already asked, how could that be? The Gemara in Bava Metzia assumes that if you have dagim shekaftu l'tocha svina, so the baal svina is kone. So Gemara says, why is that not a chatzar ha-me'alaches? If the boat's in motion, so it shouldn't be able to serve as a kinyan chatzar for the bialim. So the Gemara says, no, the boat, seemingly this is the Gemara's answer, the boat is stationary, and it's only the mayim that's carrying it along. The boat's not moving, it's the water that's moving. So therefore, the sfina is a sfina she'ena ma'alaches, and the mayim that's going to serve as a kinyan for the bialim. That seems to contradict the Gemara on Shabbos and Daf Hamid Beis, because here the Gemara says that the egos al-gabi mayim is not a hanacha, it's in motion, and the Gemara in Bava Metzia seems to say that the Sfina Gabi Mayim is stationary. That's Tosa's question. So you have at least four different approaches in the Rishonim to solve this stira. The Ravid and the Shitun Gebetzes in Bava Metzia suggests that Mayim has a din of Avir, and it's not that the egos is moving. It's not that it's moving that therefore it's not nach. The problem is that there's no makam hanacha. Mayim is ka'avir, and you can't have a hanacha agabe avir. Rashash, in the back of our Gemara here, says the exact same thing. He says you need a hanacha agabe davar afari. It has to land on soil, or something soilish. Parentheses, davar gushi, something that has something solid. And not on davar mayimi. And not on something that's liquid. And he says, because that would be like kluta. So you can't have a hanacha on a non-matter. It has to rest on something solid. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalid may be saying something similar. Depends how you read the Shaka V'Tayr in the Rambam. Either the Rambam is saying that it's not a Hanacha Agabe Makom, and simply the Rambam just says it's not Makom Dalid al Dalid to tell you that. So it's a Makom. Mayim is a Makom, so it's a little stronger than the Ravid. It's just not a makom that's dalet al dalet. That's one way of reading the Rambam. Or the Rambam is telling you that egos bikli is not bimakom dalet al dalet. Egos al gabe mayim is not bimakom klal. Depends how you read the Rambam in your gimel dalet. But certainly it seems like the Rambam is saying that the chisaron here is the chisaron in makom. The Ramban in Bom Mitzia and Avtesman Beis also mentions that le'inyan Shabbos bo'inon hakanocha al gabe makom. Le'inyan kinen chatzar, we don't care whether there's a makom or not. So these Rishonim are assuming that be'etzem a cheftza al gabe mayim is stationary. Le'inyan Shabbos, you also need a makom hanocha, and here you don't have it. Le'inyan kinyanim, you don't need a makom hanocha. But in any event, they all assume it's nach. Other Rishonim assume mechalik differently. This is also suggested by the Ramban and Daf Tesem Beis in Bom Mitzia. Le'inyan kinyan chatzer, it's okay that the chayfetz is moving. The only problem is if it's self-locomotive. It can't be generating its own movement. So a sfina that's being carried along by the yam, it's true the sfina is moving, but it's the yam that's carrying it. If the sfina was moving itself, i.e. like a chamor, or like something else that moves itself, so then it wouldn't work as a kinyan chatzer. But le'inyan Shabbos, any motion is already going to be a problem for the hanacha. So what you have is a cheftza agabe mayim is moving, but it's being carried by the water. So it's not self-moving. Why should it be the case that le'inyan kinyanim we care about mehaleches, we care about self-motion or self-locomotion? So here we pointed out to the question of the Rishonim and the question of Rekiva Iger, why is it clear in the Gemara that the Yad of the Isha, that the Yad of the Eved should be considered, or at least something in the Yad of the Isha, why should that work as a Kinyan Chatzer? Isn't that also considered Nayid? It's also moving. So that should be a Chatzer HaMa'aleches and it shouldn't be Koneh. So here we suggested, based off a comment of the Ravid in Bava Mitzia and the Rekiva Iger here in the Gilyan HaShas, that the reason why a kinyan chatzer doesn't work if it's mehaleches is because the bailam doesn't have shlita over the chefetz. If you don't assert your authority or control over the chatzer, it can't work as a kinyan for you. So if it's mehaleches me'atzma, and it's going to move away from you by itself, so then you can't say that you have authority over the chatzer, and mela wouldn't work as your yad. So yad, even though it's true it's in motion, and kala biyada, even though it's true it's moving, doesn't matter, it's tachas your shlita. So therefore, it would work as a kinyan. Chassam Sofer makes a similar point about, you know, just like a kalasa biyada, even just like that's considered a kinyan chatzer, so too, if you are driving the boat, or you're driving the car, since you have control over it, even though it might be considered self-locomotive, maybe, so since you have control over it, nonetheless, it would still work as a kinyan chatzer. So these we shown him Shabbos, right here. So essentially you have a chiluk here between everyone agrees that Al-Gabi Mayim it's moving, but the point is it's not self-moving. Other Rishonim are mechalik between just two, it seems like they're mechalik, between two different degrees of motion. Tosa Rosh, for example, points to Misgalgel. The Chevetz is rolling around. So within a certain framework it's stationary, meaning it's moving within like a certain area, but it's still in motion. It's misgalgal, rolling around within a confined area. So the Rosh says that misgalgal is considered a hanacha le'inyan kinyanim. It's not considered a hanacha le'inyan Shabbos. So here it seems that the relevant distinction, everyone agrees that a chefet al gabi mayim is moving, but its movement has the din of misgalgal. Misgalgal is a hanachal inyan kinyanim, it's not a hanachal inyan Shabbos.
That misgalgal specifically talking about a case where it won't escape?
What?
That misgalgal specifically talking about a case where it won't escape?
He doesn't say what kind of case misgalgal it is.
Because the Gemara in Bava Mitzia seems to imply that if you're rolling something through a rishus in one doing that the other, so you'd be koneh.
And the sfida.
That you would be koneh.
Yes. And I assume that's what he's referencing, but misgalgal by Shabbos would be the same thing.
Could be. He hasn't clarified which din of misgalgal, because Gemara and Shabbos also has cases of misgalgal.
But there's Shabbos cases.
Right, so it's not clear.
I think the only Kenyan case we have is one where it will escape.
Yeah. But he doesn't say which case he's referencing, if he's referencing the Shabbos cases or he's referencing the Kenyan ones. A variation of this idea might be that you have motion relative to one frame, but again, the chepetz is stationary relative to another. So here you might say this is the position of the Me'iri here. He says anything that's nud is eino nikra nach. What does he mean by that? Anything that's moving can't be considered a hanacha. So either he just means what the Tosa Rush is saying, or he means that what does the Gemara mean by mayim hu dekamimatila? The chepetz relative to the mayim is stationary, but relative to the karka, it's in motion. Relative to the sea floor, the ocean floor, it's moving. So which reference frame do you take? So he might be saying that le'inyan hanachav Shabbos, it's not. It's moving. It's moving relative to the floor. So you'd say it's not nach. Relative to kinyanim of a kinyan chatzer, you care about the chifetz being nach relative to its reference frame.
Didn't we want to say that the Miri is taking a quantitative approach? He said it's not nach gamay.
This is a quantitative approach.
Well, they feel like here is making a between what reference can we take, no?
Right.
I thought the chiluk you wanted to say was making the fact
for. And you want to reduce it to it to the rush.
Yeah. Doesn't he say like it's not nach gamay or something?
By quantitative approach, you mean like a difference in quantity, or like a more numerical approach?
I'm not sure the difference.
They both work.
Well, it's very quantitative to say that it's stationary in one, it's moving in one frame, and it's not moving in another.
That's quantitative.
That's qualitative.
That sounds qualitative.
Why is that qualitative?
Wait, I'll tell you what,
because there's no quantity. Semantics, whatever.
In one frame, there is a quantity.
What I meant was that I thought he was qualitative.
The relevant aspect is the existence of the quantity.
Whatever words you want to use right now is that. We're looking at the same reference point and mean the same thing for both. It's just that one has more than us, or one needs more of that thing than the other.
Isn't that the position of Tosa Rush?
I thought the Miri was saying something on the same
side. So you think he's saying the same as Tosa Rush?
I mean, how do you understand like that?
In Shir,
we said the Rit Kamei. I think it's what we said in Shir, no? Isn't that what we said in Shir?
Right, in Shir we said that he could be saying like Tosa Rush, that it's a kind of misgalga and it's moving. The question is, he contrasts kol shehu nod eino nikra nach, ach eino mahalachas. So what's the distinction of nod versus eino mahalachas? What's the distinction between nod versus eino mahalachas?
What was the line?
Kol shehu nod eino nikra nach, but eino mahalachas.
So it's somewhere in between. You have 0, 2, and this is somewhere at 1.
Why do you say that?
Because at some point.
Why don't you say na means it's moving? The object is in motion. But motion, it could be in motion relative to the second frame.
It could be, but later doesn't he use like legamre?
Why can nach legamre mean absolutely stationary? An absolutely stationary be relative to the earth.
I don't know. I have to check that again.
Why would that not be absolutely stationary?
No, you might. Okay. Yeah. I know that was just my person.
Right. How do you choose which frame to follow based on Kinyan versus Shabbos?
What?
How do you choose which frame to follow based on Kinyan?
Right, so here, Le'inyan Shabbos, you need Nach Legamri. You need it to be absolutely stationary. The object can't be moving. Le'inyan Kinyanim, all you care is that the object is stationary relative to the Chatzar, which is Konaet.
Okay. The Chatzar is still moving with regard to one frame.
But now with respect to the Mayim.
Right. So I'm saying, how do you choose the mayim over
the ground? That's the thing. Le'inyan kinyanim, you care about the most immediate one. Le'inyan Shabbos, you care about the objective motion of the chepetz.
It's not already providing a svara for the.
Yeah, but you don't have a svara. All these chilukim need a svara anyway. Mahalachas, one svara we gave was for the Ramban and Daf Tesma base. Mahalachas, self motion versus just motion. But if you want to be mechalik, let's say between two different degrees of misgalgel. What's the svara? The Le'inyan Shabbos, you need it to be absolutely stationary. On Le'inyan Kinyanim, you don't care. It's still one thing. Okay. A fourth distinction between the sugyas would be the suggestion of Tosas on Hei Mebeis, that Le'inyan Shabbos, you have a special din of Derech Hatzna'asan Bekach. You need the normal way that there are Matzniyah things in the Mishkan. So you might say that it's true that a davar al gabe mayim is stationary, because mayim hu dekamim atila, but it's still not derech hatznaso bekach. So Le'inyan Shabbos will say that the chifetz is not nach. which would be Tosos Lishitasam, that they read the entire Shaila in the Gemara about what's considered Derech Latznia. Egos Al Gabi Mayim is not Derech Latznia. Egos Bekli Al Gabi Mayim is considered Darko Latznia. If you wanted to accept what we were saying before in Rashi, that Rashi is saying that Mayim Al Gabi Mayim Hainu Hanachasam, because that's the normal way that Mayim is Mutzna, then you would say that Tosos is giving a similar approach for Egos Al Gabi Mayim. Two other points in the Gemara. The Rambam seems, ostensibly the Rambam has is Soser himself. The Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel says that Egos Agabe Mayim is not Munach. The Rambam in Yud Dalet Chof Gimel, the Rambam says you're Zorik L'soch Bor Mali Mayim Eir Chayiv. So Manav Shach, is Mayim a Hanacha or is Mayim not a Hanacha? So one way of being Miyashe the Stira is to say that in Yud Perek Yud Gimel, the Rambam is only talking about a hanacha with respect to a following akira, which is similar to what the Ravan and the Ravya suggested in our Gemara and Daf Hema base, that our Gemara is only about the hanacha for a following akira, not about a hanacha shel chiyuv. With respect to hanacha shel chiyuv, everybody agrees that hanacha gabi mayim is chayiv. Another way being miyashi the stira is to say, is the Rambam lishitaso that inside a rishus hayachid you don't need dalid al dalid. So Mayim is considered a Hanacha, it's just not considered a Hanacha Shel Dalet al Dalet. And still the Rambam is Mechalek between an Akira Mei Rishus Hayachid to a Hanacha inside a Rishus Hayachid. For an Akira from a Rishus Hayachid, you would need Dalet al Dalet. For a Hanacha into a Rishus Hayachid, you would not need Dalet al Dalet. Similar to what we saw in the Ritva and the Gemara. On the Ritva and the Gemara within Rav Chista. Well,
the problem is that the Rambam says that he's talking that he's talking about whether it's just Yachid or it's just a rabbi. Mine is Tom Hanachid Dalad.
Yeah.
Because Rambam gives both cases. In a Hanami.
One of the two, just Rishus
Well, it sounds like he's saying that it's either one of the two.
Which Rambam?
In Parakeet Gimel.
That's the case of Akira. That works well.
I know, but this answer that will. Itamar is suggesting now that it's a question of Rishios.
What do you mean? It's a double distinction.
The question is more on Aleph, where he does say Anach and Akira.
But that's not my mind.
No, in Yudalit he just talks about Hanacha.
Yeah.
And Gimli talks about Akira, and he talks about only Akira.
Right. No, I was saying if you want to ask, then the question is more on Yudalit, instead of Yudalit, Akira and Hanacha.
Right. Third distinction for the Rambam would be that he's mechalek between zrika and hotza biyad. When you're dealing with zrika, so then you would say that you hanacha bekolduhu would be sagi. So therefore, even a hanacha gabi mayim would be sufficient to mechaydu inyan Shabbos. Presumably, the svara is that zrika is very front loaded. Everything happens at the moment of akira. So there, the hanacha is just to finish off the chiyuv. So even a hanacha al gabi mayim be mechayiv l'inyan Shabbos. But if you're an akira me'al gabi mayim, that's not considered from me'al gabi makom munach. That's the pirush kadmon me'eretz Mitzrayim. Okay. Good. So we'll stop here for now. We'll pick up a little bit with egos bikli al gabi mayim, and then we'll go on to omed lachate omed lachish.
After
Maybe we'll do one before. Maybe we'll do one.